Comedy 365.
Don't start complaining before we've even started. What are you complaining about now?
I had my mic perfectly set up.
Yes.
And then you switch on the record button and then move my mic.
No, that's because in the last programme you kept kicking the stand. There's a stand by your foot
that takes
it onto the table.
Right.
And if you keep kicking that, it makes a
bumping noise.
Can
I kick you instead?
Yes, you can kick me instead. Available on iTunes. Yeah, stop it. Available on iTunes, Yahoo, and now for the very first time anywhere in the world, on mobile phones via the MobiPod network.
Comedy 365 is brought to you in association with pepperstock.co.uk.
Very good. This is Salby and Luff's
Big Squeeze.
Salby and Luff's
Big Squeeze. With Georgina Salby
and Brian Luff. I have high hopes for this programme, Georgina.
Why would you have high hopes?
I don't know, just for some reason. I have high hopes. Because we never really know what's going to come out, do we?
Going to the toilet.
I've got a really good feeling about this show. I just think that Big Squeeze number 86...
Oh, my God.
...is going to be the best Big Squeeze of all time. I've just got
Let's
a feeling.
Let's hope so. Inevitably, when you say things like, this is going to be the best one ever, I fall into a horrible cataclysmic depression and don't come up with anything funny.
Live from the Gaelics, this is the Big Squeeze. We're knocking back the pints of Guinness, which today are bought for us by Matt Gibson from Bristol.
Matt Gibson.
From Bristol in England.
He actually said that he would send me a pint of Guinness if I told him about the female fantasy book that I mentioned earlier.
Did you? Oh, have I got an email from him here?
You have, yes.
Oh, yes.
I thought I would follow up the pint of Guinness.
He says, hi,
Guinnesses.
He says, a group of my mates were just discussing female sexual fantasies, brackets, as you do. And I had a flashback to a book you recommended.
Yes.
But I can't remember what the book was called, the author, or which Big Squeeze it was in. Can you come to my rescue and remind me what it was? I might be able to run to Guinness-based appreciation. Well,
he has done
that. He's kept his side of the bargain. He's sent us a couple of pints of the black stuff. So what? Do you remember what the name of that book was, Georgina?
It was called Women on Top by Nancy Friday. And I did say to him that...
Women on Top by Nancy Friday.
Well, no, she doesn't pay us for advertising rights. It was just an interesting read.
Basically, it's
kind of an academic book. It looks like an academic book, but it's all about female fantasies. Personally, I find it half titillating because the fantasies are okay.
Right.
But they don't really go as far as you want them
to. Would I find it entertaining, do you think? Should I bother?
Yeah, I would recommend. I wouldn't recommend. It's quite an expensive book. I find mine secondhand, like I always find
What sort of fantasies are in it then? Give me an
example. It's all sorts of things, from dogs to large men entering your womb, unexpectedly, all sorts of things. You can borrow my copy.
Have you still got a copy of it?
Of course I've got a copy. I got it from the bookshop. I got it from the second-hand bookshop in Cratchit.
I might have a little browse
through
that.
Yes, it's an interesting read.
People could get that at Amazon.com, couldn't they? But if they did, we wouldn't get any money.
We don't, no. My sex guide instead, it's far more titillating.
Yes.
I would say me talking about sex is far more interesting than dull American women talking about sex.
Get Salby and Love's sex guide instead. You can get that at audible.co.uk.
Wouldn't you rather listen to my fantasies?
What's the next email, lovely Georgina?
This is from Emily Gordon in New York.
Why are you doing an Irish accent?
I was doing Welsh.
Oh, okay.
No, it wasn't. It was Irish.
Well, no, but that still doesn't answer the question. Why were you doing an Irish accent for Emily?
I just felt like it.
In New York, you should
I'm
have
trying
been...
to be spontaneous on the, you know, just creating a different sort of feel to
you
this.
You should have done your best American New York accent. Do you do New York?
I do them all, darling.
Okay. Emily says.
Emily says, well, I was emailing Emily about our live show, you know, when we went out and about in Crouch End, and I wasn't sure whether it worked. And as a punter who listens, and I thought I'd get feedback from Emily. And Emily actually said that she found it really fresh and unexpected, totally unpredictable, and you both handled it with aplomb. It was fun to hear other people playing What's the Question, Trev, and generally unwittingly roped into the madness that we all know so well.
Yes.
But obviously they don't. Brian even got a strange lady to laugh at his joke.
Yes.
Yeah, well done. And she liked hearing the great British accent. You see, the only trouble was, everyone we interviewed wasn't British.
That's true.
With the exception of one person.
Do you know what? I think the reason we haven't gone out and done another one of those is I think as I get older, I'm becoming slightly agoraphobic.
You don't go out very much,
I don't
much,
go
do
out
you?
Very much. No, I don't.
And in fact,
I think I should go out more.
One of your mates the other day, because you'd lost your mobile, you'd lost so many things in the space of one weekend, and I remember your friend emailed you and said, is it wise for you to go out unsupervised?
Into the community, yes.
And I like that because I think my answer to that would be no. Well, don't let him go.
No, I come down here quite a lot. I come down the pub quite a lot. That's going out, isn't it?
It's not really, though, is it? It's about a 2-minute walk. We settle down in the pub. We don't go anywhere apart from the toilet and the bar. And then we go home.
And
again.
We did go into London yesterday. We were working in London yesterday.
We were actually being paid.
We were writing.
We were writing comedy and we were being paid.
Yes, it happens once in a blue moon.
Anyway, she actually says that when she comes over, Crouch End is definitely an area of London she's going to investigate further because she's never been up here. Emily, come.
Well, the Gaylegs is like a kind of shrine for Americans to visit. In fact, when our friend from Hong Kong, David Kibble, came over, he said that he couldn't leave London without visiting the Gaylegs. He considered it like a kind of pilgrimage, almost, didn't he? I hope he wasn't too disappointed when he saw it.
We haven't heard from him since.
He said it was nothing like he was expecting it to be, didn't he? He said he was expecting it to be like a kind of big London kind of Victorian style pub.
It's a very small Victorian pub.
It's tiny.
It's like someone's living room.
It's like drinking in a cupboard almost.
That's why we like it so much. Yes. And you don't get star spotters in there. Basically anyone can go in there for a pint, be you a pop star or radio aficionados like ourselves. I've folded the corner over, Brian. I've folded it over already.
Do you remember we were talking about what would happen if you stood on the North Pole and the Earth stopped spinning?
I do.
We've had
indeed.
An awful lot of emails about that. Yes. But here's my favourite.
Okay.
This is from Mark Derrick. He says, if I was standing at the North Pole and the Earth stops spinning, I probably wouldn't notice because I would be too busy knocking one out whilst thinking of Georgina's tits.
Is that real? Have you just made that up?
I swear to God, that is real. It came in on the 10th of July, 2006, at 9:40 a.m.
He's thinking, surely not at 9:40 a.m. That's very charming. Thank you.
Well, there you go, Mark.
Very lovely comment.
I bet you didn't think we'd read that one out. Okay, this is from Marshall Scott. Dear Brian and Georgina, it's Marshall Scott from Norman, Oklahoma. I didn't know there was a place called Norman. That's like living in a place called Eric, isn't it?
There's probably a place called Eric as well.
Anyway, from Norman, Oklahoma, he says, my wife and I would like to ask for more Ray Winston in future podcasts.
Oh, okay.
I seem to feel like he is one of the family.
Yes,
since
yes.
Some of my family seem to be in the same line of work that he's in. Oh, God.
Uh-oh.
That's slightly scary.
What an actor.
Keep up the great work. Love the podcast. Make the drive to work more bearable.
I actually bumped into Ray recently, so Ray's around and about. If I can find him and catch him and sit him down for long enough to have a chat, I will do.
He did show up in the last programme, didn't he?
He happened to be in the Gaylegs.
So hopefully that's kept Marshall and Michelle
Marshall
Scott
and Michelle.
Happy.
I wonder if they actually joined because their names went so well together.
That's an email from two people, isn't it? Do you think they typed alternate words?
Yeah.
Or one wrote the first line and then the other one wrote the second line?
I hope so. I like to think of it as that would have happened. But I like Marshall and Michelle. Do you know some people have strange surnames that when you put them together when they get married, it's funny, like, I don't know, Ball and Bags get married, or I don't know, like Cock and Fishy Smell.
But some people give their children really inappropriate names, don't they? Like, so for example, if your surname was Hall, you wouldn't want to give your son the name Albert, for example, would you?
Because
that would be a bit strange, wouldn't it?
Although people would remember it.
Would they?
Yes. Albert Hall.
You're still clutching one email there, Georgina.
Well, yeah, I used to have a friend at school called Sue Glue.
Sue Glue. I used to have a friend at school called Anastasia Anastasiou.
No.
Yep. And
was she Greek?
Even better, there was a guy called Ishmael Ishmael. In other words, his first name was the same as his second name.
That's not very inventive,
That's
really,
not very
is
inventive
it?
For the parents'
what parent
point.
Does that?
I don't know.
Oh, God.
I have no idea.
No, she's called Sowerby Sowerby.
Ishmael,
I mean,
Ishmael.
A lot of people call me Sowerby.
He was a nice guy, though. Ishmael,
yeah, but he only
Ishmael.
Has one name.
You know where he lives now, don't you?
Are you sure he just didn't have a stutter?
Barden Barden.
Oh, my God.
And when he,
I'm not even going to date
and
that.
And when he got
that.
Older, he joined Duran Duran briefly. if you're not going to read one out, I've got my last one here. This is from Joe Talbot.
I'm just chilling.
Joe Talbot has...
what?
He sent us a little drawing, which is painstakingly done. Using forward slashes, backward slashes and brackets on his computer.
Yeah.
And it's a picture of a bowling pin.
Yeah.
And he says, my laptop crashed, brackets, not a Sowerby and Luft disaster.
Thank God.
So this answer is a bit delayed, but I believe Brian might look like a bowling pin.
Yes.
Because remember we said...
yeah, what's a big thing with something small on
top? Yeah, what's a big thing with something small on the top? So he thinks he thinks I'm the shape of that. He thinks
that's
I'm a bowling
good.
Pin.
Now, I did actually respond to this email because I wonder what the N is on top. I thought some kind of like mathematical equation.
I think it's figure N. It's like...
Oh, is it like a bowling cap?
Like figure one, you know. Or it could be... You might have just used the N like to be like a little hat. On top of my head.
Oh, right, okay. It's not like a bowling pin to the power of N.
No, I think the clue is in how he has signed off, because he has signed off this email by saying, "Witness the power of boredom." From Joseph Talbot, New York City.
Oh, that's a bit of a doo-doo-doo-doo situation. And I said the power of N, and he said witness the power of boredom.
A what situation?
Situation.
You make that noise quite a lot, don't you? I usually edit it out afterwards, but I'll leave that one in.
Do you cheeky twat? How much of me do you edit out? Should I listen to any of these programmes?
No, Georgina never actually
listens.
Hold on,
I bet you come across as really funny because you cut out all my funny lines.
Georgina never actually bothers to listen to the programmes, do you? You just record them and then you move on. And get on with your busy life, don't you?
I do listen to some of them because they make me giggle, I find a bit sad because you can't actually go around listening to your own podcast giggling. Then when people say, "What listen to?" you just go, "Actually, myself being terribly funny."
Whereas I, poor bastard that I am, have to listen to every program because of the production process that we use. I have to listen to every program twice. I have to listen to it once when I do the little tighten, the little edit.
Yeah.
And then I have to listen to it again in real time when I master it.
Do you laugh while you're mastering it?
Never.
Look at me, mastering.
No, never laugh.
Never laugh once.
No, just sit there with my headphones on.
Not even at something you say?
Press the occasional button.
Oh. You see, that's when I'm going out.
Thanks for your emails.
Life
in the Gaelic.
Yes, thank you for your emails. Please keep them coming in. All of a sudden, we seem to have not had quite so many emails, and I do miss your emails. If you're not emailing me, it gives me nothing to do between the hours of 7 and 9:30 every morning.
I haven't noticed that. Oh, we had loads in this morning.
Oh, maybe that's
all that stuff about what happens if you stand on top of the world and the world stops. It's about four on that subject, wasn't there?
That's from yonks ago.
No, that was this morning. There were about seven emails this
morning. I haven't had a look at emails this morning.
No, well, the monitor blew up yesterday.
That's because I went near the monitor yesterday, everybody.
Oh,
and
God.
The monitor blew up.
Sometimes you're lying in bed and the things are going through your mind and you think, I'll just get up and do a little bit of work instead of sleeping. I'm not very tired. And I got up at about 1 a.m. and I was just going to do a little bit of writing and do a little bit of work. Switched on the monitor and it just went...
Oh, it was nothing to do with me then.
And that was it. No, you weren't anywhere near it.
Oh, cool. Well, that's brilliant. It's about the first time someone else has broken something to do with the computer, and I am not a guilty participant.
And
hurrah!
We took it into PC World, didn't we?
Today?
And we stood there this morning.
Yeah, going, we can get our money
and
back.
We said,
it will still be guaranteed.
We said we only bought this monitor, cost £239.
A lot of money.
From PC World 18 months ago.
Yes.
It's gone pop.
Yes.
Can we have another one, please? Did you sign the agreement, what do they call it, the service agreement?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't. I consider those to be a complete rip-off, but yes. I didn't expect it to blow up after 18 months. Oh, yeah. No, sorry, you have to buy a new one.
She just looked at us and went, because I said, can I get a new one? She just went, no. And we looked at each other, you looked at me and said, do you know, I wasn't expecting that answer.
So we had
and
to
neither
buy
was I.
Another damn
monitor.
LCD monitor.
You're right, there's a little chip inside monitors that make it explode after 1.5 years. It's past your guarantee by date. And you know the saddest thing is they can't mend the old monitor. It's not worth mending the old monitor because it's cheaper to buy a new one.
That's what we said. Could
one.
You mend it? She said, oh, it'd be
cheaper
to buy
a new one. I hate this type of society.
I 100% guarantee that there's a little chip inside a monitor or inside a computer that after about 18 months, 2 years, just goes ping. And the thing dies, it's not fixable, and you have to go and buy another one.
Strangely,
it's
I
like
just
being
said that.
Mugged. I know, but it's like being mugged. I feel like I've been corporately mugged by a combination of Hewlett-Packard and PC World.
If PC World want to speed up the whole process of breaking computers, they could just hire me to go and visit people with computers.
If there's anyone from Hewlett-Packard listening, and there probably is, because there's a lot of people who work for Hewlett-Packard worldwide.
Tell us why your computers are so crap.
Yes, email us, studio@comedy365.co.uk, head in your email, why our monitors go ping after 18 months.
Yes.
Or even better, send us a new monitor.
Well, we do have a lot of influence. On our surveys, it actually said one of our top rated after booze, like, would you buy anything that these two recommended? And you can see the effect Squeezy Marmite and Guinness we've had on sales.
Yes.
You see, Hewlett Packard might do well to try and butter us up and try and get us on their side.
I think HP should definitely send us a new monitor. Or some goodies.
Does HP also make the lovely brown chili sauce that you put on
No, that's a different HP. That's a completely different HP. So their incentive, of course, to send us a new monitor would be, I'll stop saying things like this. Don't buy Hewlett Packard products because they go ping after 18 months and there's fuck all you can do about it. Okay, those were your emails live from the gay legs. Coming back in a moment, it's Talking Bollocks.
Sowerby and Laughs
Big Squeeze.
Why are you shrugging your shoulders and looking at me in that confused way?
In the gay legs, and I join within the gay legs.
Well, I just thought I'd do it differently this time. I'm changing the format slightly. What's the?
I don't know. Okay, I'm changing the format. I don't have any talking bollocks.
I knew you were going to moan today. I knew as soon as I walked into this place.
I'm changing the whole way we do this.
What's the first subject and talking bollocks, Georgina?
You think of one.
Oh, come on, don't wind me up. I've had a bad day. It's just cost me £150 to get a new blimmin'
flat screen. It's cost our company money that we don't have.
Just get on with it.
Do you know, I was talking to a little girl whose name will remain anonymous the other day. She was 6 and she is absolutely convinced, and I don't know whether she's been told this. This is a talking bollocks subject, by the way, that she has poo miners in her tummy.
Poo miners in their tummy
that mine the poo.
But I don't understand. Explain.
Excavate the poo.
Excavate.
The miners excavate the poo. It comes out, and when the miners are on strike, you get constipation.
How old is this person?
6.
He or she?
She.
She's 6 years old.
And she thinks there are miners.
Well, why don't her parents tell her that there aren't little miners in her tummy mining her poo?
I thought it was really sweet that she actually thought there were little miners kind of excavating the coal. She's obviously seen a programme about going into like caves or something and excavating coal or whatever, and she thinks there are little miners down there.
When I was little, I used to think there was a little control room in my head that looked a bit like the bridge of the Starship Enterprise. and I used to think that there was a kind of editorial department whose job it was to not let me say stupid things.
They didn't work very hard.
And I think all that's happened as I've got older is that they've slowly let staff go in that editorial department. And it's now just been run down to one elderly person who can no longer be bothered to kind of double check things before they go out. And I think that's the reason that I now talk such bollocks the whole time.
Yeah.
The moment I'm awake.
I like that idea. I like the editorial suite in your head.
Yes, but it's not quite as funky as poo miners, is it? This is a good subject, actually. If your parents told you something weird about how parts of your body worked or anything similar to that when you were little, then email us studio@comedy365.co.uk.
Yeah.
Heading your email, my parents told me strange things about my body.
I bet they did. Loads of parents do things like that. My mum told me if I swallowed chewing gum, I'd die because it would stick my insides together.
I'm particularly interested to hear from anyone who's also believes they have poo miners in their tummy.
I quite like the idea of poo miners.
What are they mining it for? Are they trying to find something else in the poo, like coal or
something? She's 6. Just on the subject of poo as well, the same little girl, I think she has a little bit of a fascination with it.
Yes.
This little girl isn't me when I was younger, by the way, just in case you're suspecting it might be. She said that she thought, because we were talking, I was telling her, was she learning any French? And she said, oui. And I said, oh, very good. You're learning some French. And she said, oui. And she said, also, I used to think that if French for yes was oui, that French for no should be poo. Which is brilliant.
We equals poo is no. What's the next subject in Talking B today? G.
This is great. This is a story I read on the internet about an Australian. He's trying to train mice to surfboard. He's giving them the knowledge of the boards, and it will help them keep afloat. And he's actually trying to produce, as we speak, mice-size waves.
Right.
So the mice can actually try surfboarding.
So he's got live mice.
Yeah.
And he's made little tiny surfboards.
Yeah.
And he's building a machine
to
so that they can serve.
Mice size.
And how are the mice doing with this? How's it going for them?
Well, you see, his explanation is that when he was young, he didn't have things like an Xbox, so he actually had to come up with things to entertain his kids, because that's what he used to do when he was
So he drowned mice.
Yeah, the only thing is, I don't know how far we can go with it, because the RSPCA actually, I think, are about to move in, because they say that surfing is not, and I quote them, a natural activity for mice.
It's not. I mean, you might as well just stand on a beach with a box of mice and just lob them as far into the sea as you can.
See if they come back riding on a wave.
See if they swim in. I mean, it's just as pointless as that.
Can mice? Yeah, mice can swim. Rats can swim.
If anyone out there has ever trained a small animal, e.g. a mouse, to do something more interesting than mice or guinea pigs normally do.
Yes.
For example, parachuting.
Yeah.
Or surfing, like our friend there. A friend of mine used to put frogs on parachutes when I was a kid.
Frogs on parachutes?
Frogs on parachutes, yeah. He used to
lob,
you know, those toy parachutes that you throw up in the air?
Oh, yes, with like normally with little plastic Action Man figures.
He used to put a frog in a little harness and throw it up in the air.
Did they ever die?
Probably, yeah. I should think they probably did.
Because sometimes those parachutes didn't open, did they?
I should think they died of shock.
Fuck.
And I think some of them probably set free fall parachuting records.
For frogs?
For amphibians, yeah. Have you ever...
The amphibian record breaker.
Have you ever done any kind of sporting activity with a small animal or pet? That's a really good one. And we want to hear from you on that one. Studio at comedy365.co.uk.
Unless it's very illegal. Yes. We know where you are, Richard Gere.
Okay, well, that was Talking Bollocks in the Gay Legs. And we'll be back in just a moment with What's the Question Trib?
Sowerby and Laughs. Big squeeze.
Orange, please.
The orange answer to which Georgina has to supply the question, and you can play this at home, is the discus and hammer.
What should you never try and insert up a nostril?
Half a point.
What was I really crap at when doing athletics?
Okay, half a point. What could you teach to a mouse after it gets off the surfboard?
What could you drop on a mouse?
Because the thing is, the mouse would come off the surfboard all charged up with surf hair.
Yeah.
All charged up with adrenaline, and you'll say, what can I do now? You know, let's do some athletics.
Yeah.
I think I'd better tell you. What two field athletic events have a net behind them to protect spectators? Okay, what's yellow, Georgina?
Wind.
What is it that makes an anemometer go round?
That is the correct answer.
No.
It is. What does an anemometer measure the speed of?
Good grief, that's the first time I've ever got one right.
And there was so much potential for wind.
We had to make anemometers once when I was at school.
Jeez, you have an exciting life.
We did it by cutting tennis balls in half and sticking them to the ends of little pieces of wood and blowing it so that it went round.
What? How fast do you know is a ball going round?
Well, if it goes really fast, you know it's really windy.
Hold on. That's not scientific. If it goes really fast. If I stand in the wind and my skirt blows really fast, does that make me an anemometer?
I'd pay to see that.
It's strange that we should be mentioning wind, because I actually had a Sahara Desert at the moment of farting.
Right.
I haven't farted for ages, and I used to, you know, it's quite satisfying sometimes, in the pleasure of your own company.
Yes.
And I haven't farted for ages.
Have you changed your diet at all?
Not particularly.
You know, I said this was going to be the best big squeeze ever.
Yeah, you were wrong.
Well, it wasn't. Live from the Gay Legs, this was Sowerby and Love.
Big Squeeze.
Sowerby and Love's Big Squeeze was written and performed by Georgina Sowerby and Brian Love.
Technical supervisor was Alan Benz. Music by Richard Prey. All celebrity voices were impersonated. The Big Squeeze was produced by the British Podcasting Corporation for Comedy 365.
Will you tickle my fanny?
Comedy 365.
2012. Elton shifted uncomfortably in his seat in the press room of the recently completed Wembley Stadium and awaited the arrival of the man of the moment. 24-year-old Earl Cruz was the first Olympic athlete for several decades to fail any kind of drugs test.
Brian Love's brand new audio novel, Sex on Legs, is a raunchy sci-fi thriller which takes a surreal look behind the scenes of professional sport.
The drugs test had revealed that prior to the men's 100 metres final at Wembley, Earl Cruz had failed to take the required dosage of the compulsorily prescribed Olympic drug Y245684B, giving him unfair drug-free advantage in the race.
Sex on Legs is also a ghost story and a hair-raising guided tour of the seedy world of broadcasting and TV advertising.
Surely, said Elton Mowbray, the Olympic 100 metres cannot be run in 0 seconds.
Sex on Legs is available to download now at audible.co.uk or in the audiobooks section of iTunes Music Library.
But a race in no time at all means a race with no advertising airtime.
For more information on Sex on Legs, go to comedy365.co.uk.
And there, on the edge of the bed, was the ghost of Bob Brompton, wearing nothing but his socks.